Ezekiel 3. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll. Go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said to me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. This is about our receptiveness to the word of God. This is God's message to Ezekiel. As God prepares Ezekiel to go to the people and to preach, he's giving him his word. You know, there should never be a time when a teacher, whether that's in the role as a Sunday school teacher or in the role of a preacher, a pastor, evangelist, whatever, there should never be a time but that they stand before the people with God's word that God has given them. Because there's an appropriate message. I know that we all come from different walks of life. And if we went around the room and got testimonies, there's different things going on with people today in this room. And you have nothing to do with each other in that regard. You've got your own stuff going on. And yet God, in his wisdom and by his Holy Spirit, can come through the written word if the messenger will be sensitive to the anointing of God, the leadership of God, and can deliver a message that was written thousands of years ago that will apply to each of us today. Isn't that incredible? God is amazing. And so it needs to be received. Not only does it need to be received that way by the messenger, it needs to be received that way by the congregation, by the hearers. Have you ever heard a message you didn't want to receive? Yes, we have, haven't we? And sometimes that's a simple message. I know that, was it today? Might have been yesterday. Emmy heard a message from me she didn't want to receive. And I kept saying no. And then I would come around the wall, and I would see her go reaching for it again. I'd come around the wall and say, no. And so she would stop, and I kept coming back, no, no. And she knew the message, but she didn't want to receive the message. She received it just long enough to get out of the church and shake the preacher's hand and say, that was nice. And then when she went back out in the world, she kept going back. But every time she kept coming back, the preacher said, no, you're not supposed to do that. And that's what we do. Guys, it's not just to be received while we're in the pew. It's to be received into our hearts and change who we are. I don't know if you remember what I preached on Sunday. It's irrelevant if you remember it so much as it took hold on our hearts and changed how we think and changed how we live. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do. It doesn't always sound nice. It's not always delivered eloquently. In some places, it's never delivered eloquently. But it's supposed to be received as the Word of God. It is the Word of God and applied to our lives. And Ezekiel said, when I got it in me, oh, it was sweet like honey. I love the Word of God. Do you love the Word of God? Man, I love the Word of God. I love to read it. I love to talk about it. I love to learn about it. I love to hear it. I love God's Word. It changes us and it nourishes our souls. Verse 4, he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee to the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. So share the message. Don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many of us go home Sunday afternoon and call our friend and say, oh, the message at church today was this. Or maybe Monday when you get to work or get around other people, say, oh, at church Sunday, the message was this. Do we share the message? Or maybe during the week you say, well, my devotion this morning was this. You know, I read in the Bible this morning such and such, or last night, whenever your devotion time is, and you share it with people. That's what we're supposed to do, is share it. But see, if we don't receive it and it's not good to us, how are we going to share it? You probably don't understand unless you have taught a class. And I don't mean, you know, we use a schedule on our teaching in Sunday school. But if you've ever had to come up with your own message, it takes a long time. And I can go from cover to cover, reading and going back and reading again and looking over here and reading again. And, you know, sometimes the idea I start with is far gone by the time I land on the message God has prepared. It's way back there. I sometimes don't even remember where I started. Because God moves us from Scripture to Scripture to Scripture and then finally lands on something. And sometimes I'll get to reading and I'll say, oh, this is it right here. And then I get to the end and it's just, and I start looking again. But that's how God works. God's, you know, he's teaching me whether I end up teaching that or not. I'm still reading it. I'm still growing by it. I'm still learning stuff. And so he says, share it. Give it to the people. Verse 5, thou art not sent to a people of strange speech or of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. And isn't it incredible? Don't you feel great to be a missionary to the community? Man, you don't have to learn Swahili or Spanish or French or Portuguese. You know, some of those countries where our missionaries serve, there are 3 or 4 languages or at least dialects in the region where they serve. And so they have to choose one dialect, one language, and reach those people, even though the people all around us speak a different language. Now, it's becoming more and more like that here, isn't it? And I know growing up in South Florida, there was a lot of Spanish and Haitian, you know, speak French, and Jamaicans. There were all kinds of different people there of all different sorts of languages. And there were missionaries that were, they came to South Florida to be missionaries to those different groups of people. But aren't you glad that the people we're supposed to reach are the people that speak our language? And some of these missionaries or evangelists, they go to other countries, and I've been invited to go to different countries and preach, and I preach, and then they translate into their language. I've just never been a fan of that. We've had missionaries come here that were missionaries in other countries, and they have so embedded themselves that they speak that language better than they do English. And they think in that language. How many of you ever learned a foreign language? And so we think it in English, and then we translate it to that Spanish or whatever, don't we? But we still think in English. And that's why I can remember in particular Brother Joe Barker, when he came, you know, he's in Paraguay, and he thought that way and spoke that way. So everything he said or thought, he'd have to translate it into English. And it's hard to preach that way. But God didn't send us to a foreign land. God sent us here. The people that are our neighbors that speak the same language. He said, you know, it's not a hard language. In fact, look at what he says, which rings true today in verse number 7 and verse number 6. Not to many people of a strange speech, of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. And it's incredible as we get these mission reports, as people go and travel, they go to another country and people get saved. Why? The Americans here telling you about Jesus. But they don't believe it when their own people tell them about Jesus. But when the American comes, now it's okay. And the same was true here. He said, Ezekiel, I can send you to another part of the world, and they would hear it. Isn't it incredible that in America, where it's founded, I don't care what anybody says, history proves this country was founded on the Scripture. Judeo-Christian values, yes, but not just that, of God, of Jesus. Those founders were believers. They were Christians. Yeah, not all of them, but most of them. The reason we have the government, the form of government, let me correct that we have, is because of the congregational church, the Baptists. Now, those were known as congregations, not Baptists necessarily, but the church made the decision. The pastor didn't rule it like a king, and that's not the way it should be today. And some churches have gotten away from a congregation functioning church, and the pastor makes all the decisions. That's a mistake. That's big trouble. And so, anyway, if he sent you to another language, he said, it would have made a difference. In this country, where it's founded on the Word of God, it's founded on the principles of God, people don't want to hear about God. And we could go a long way with that, couldn't we? We're in trouble. Yes, pray for our country. We need to be spreading the gospel, sharing the message. This is a great text for that idea. People with no association or background are more ready to receive the message than those who grew up in church sometimes. Those are some of the worst ones, aren't they? Verse 7, but the house of Israel will not hearken to thee, for they will not hearken unto me. All the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. God says, they're not going to listen. Ezekiel. Verse 8. I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads, as an adamant, harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. I don't know if you've ever talked to a group of people or to a couple of people who give you that look like they just want to stab you right in the face. But sometimes when you're preaching, people give you that look. And I'll tell you what, for most preachers, it just makes us preach harder. And the truth is, look, and I'm not one that goes out to offend people. I don't want to be a martyr. I want to go to heaven peacefully. I mean, I will be if I have to, but I'm not trying for that position. And it's no fun, really, to preach to people who don't want to hear what you have to say. But God said, here's the thing, Ezekiel, I've made your face harder than their face. I've given you tenacity greater than their tenacity. I've given you the fortitude that's greater to overcome the dirty looks and the meanness and the hardness of their heart. He said, you just preach. Even in the face of opposition, even in the face of resistance, even if nobody listens, you preach. Share the message. And I know if I asked you, probably everybody in this room would say, Pastor, I've shared the gospel with somebody that didn't want to hear it. I've shared the gospel with people who are talked about Jesus, and they told me, shut up. They told me, go away. They told me, stop talking about it. Well, then you are right here in the same class with Ezekiel. But we've got to do it. And how are you going to know if they're going to say no until you start? How are we going to know if they say they don't want Jesus if we don't try? We've got to try. Great missionary said nobody should hear the gospel twice until everyone's heard it at least once. Isn't that true? It seems like we keep sharing the gospel the same. You know, we want our family members to get saved, so we keep picking on them all the time. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. Jesus loves you. You need to. They don't want to hear it. I'm not saying stop telling them. I'm just saying they don't want to hear it. There's a whole world out there that needs to hear it for the first time. There's a whole world out there that needs to know that they are sinners, inherently sinners, that they have committed sin against God, but God in His rich love has sent Jesus Christ to forgive their sins. He died on the cross. And to give them eternal life, He rose from the grave. If they'll believe in their heart the Lord Jesus and confess with their mouth that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We got to tell them. Verse 10. Moreover, he said, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, to the children of thy people. Speak unto them, tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. They need to hear it. Give them an opportunity to say no. Give them an opportunity to say yes. Wouldn't it be wonderful to lead somebody to Jesus? It's the most wonderful feeling in the world to know that you've not only saved them, but for their eternity, they're born again. That's why we do it. To change their future, to change their everlasting life. So you know what it says in verse 14? Ezekiel said, I went in bitterness. You see that? Verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up, took me away, and I went in bitterness. He said, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really want to go. I mean, that's a pretty harsh message. Ezekiel, go preach. They don't want to hear it. Ezekiel, go preach. I mean, you remember, we're in the captivity, right? We're in Babylon. He said, I want you to preach, and they don't want to hear it. They believe God has forsaken them. They think all those stories that their parents told them about miracles and God, they think that's all just fairy tales. Well, that hadn't changed, has it? That's what people say today. One day, they won't have to listen to it anymore, will they? Because we'll be gone. And they'll be wondering, where are those stories they told me about? Where are those friends who kept trying to tell me that I needed Jesus? Oh, Ezekiel said, I went in bitterness. I was distressed to be called to preach, that I was going to go preach and I shouldn't have any expectation of converts. I tell you, if the church went on for a period of time, a season of time, and nobody got saved, nobody got baptized, nobody joined the church, we start looking and evaluating and saying, well, I wonder what's wrong. Wonder what we need to change. Wonder if we need a new preacher. You don't. Wonder if we need new leadership. Wonder what we need. Wonder if we need to paint something or change a sign or put drums and guitars or something, you know. Lights and smoke. And what do we need to do different? Pastor needs to stop wearing a suit. You know, I don't ever see pastors wearing suits anymore. I don't know what happened. I'm shocked. I really am. I know it's just tradition, but I tell you, it makes a difference. It does make a difference. But he was in bitterness. He went. He wasn't expecting the converts. He said, well, I want to preach. I want people to get saved. I want to preach. I want people to repent. I want to preach, and I want people to get excited about what I'm telling them. I don't want to sit there and look at them. I know. I don't want to either. But you still got to do it. You preach some things that are uncomfortable. They hit people right where they live. They know they're sinning. They haven't repented. They don't want to convert. And they're going to say you picked on them or say you aimed that at them or say, well, you were talking right to me. I know you. No, I wasn't. I mean, I was talking to everybody, but I wasn't talking just to you. Right? That's how it works. That's how it's supposed to work. We're all supposed to hear. You ever go to a meeting and the director or whatever gets up there and starts talking about everything? Man, I start, why is he talking to me about that? I didn't do that. Why is he talking to me? I didn't do any of that stuff. Do the same thing in church. If it's not for you, it's not for you, right? But if it's for, if the shoe fits, put it on. Cinderella. Look at verse 15, right? Verse 15. Oh, Cinderella's Disney. We're not supposed to say that anymore. Verse 15. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat. Man, I love that. Look at that. You have that circled in your circle that, underline it, mark it in your Bible, highlight it. I sat where they sat. You know what that's called? That's called ministry. You want to know why you can reach people that I can't reach? Because you've sat where they've sat. I've not been through it. I may go through it, but I've not been through it. They can relate to you better than it can relate to me. Now, let me say this. I'm not going to go become a drunk so I can minister to alcoholics. I'm not going to get hooked on drugs so I can minister to drug addicts. I'm not going to do it. But if you've been there, if you've been through that, and you've come out of that and survived that, then you can reach people that are going through that because you know what they're going through. I've lived some life. I've done some things. I've experienced some heartaches. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I look at people and I feel for them and I grieve for them and I say, God, please don't ever put me in a position where I understand what they're going through. I don't want to go through it. I'm heartbroken for them, but I don't want to be able to relate on that level, God. It scares me sometimes. Because I want to be able to love people and I want to be able to help people and I want to be able to dance with those that dance and weep with those who weep. And I want to say that I've sat where they've sat. But the truth is I haven't sat where some of you have sat, but you have sat where some of them have sat and you can reach them better than I can. And I can reach some better than you can because I've sat where they've sat. All that in one statement. That's a huge statement, isn't it? God called Ezekiel and said, you need to go reach these people. And he sat where they sat. And remained there astonished among them 7 days. He didn't say anything. He just sat there with them in a state of astonishment. It came to pass at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. My words. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Verse 19, if thou wilt warn the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way. He shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You did your job. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, what do we call that? Backsliding. And commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and in his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. Look at that. Did y'all see that? Oh, that's scary, isn't it? Now look, isn't it great to know that we are saved? That our work for God is being recorded with God? And any rewards or any acknowledgement that we get when we get there? I know we're just looking to be saved and get there. But he says he'll give us rewards. And there's an account running. But you know, we can wipe that whole account out. Isn't that what it said? He said, his righteousness, which he hath done, will I not remember. We can wipe out everything we've done. On that, look, I didn't say lose your salvation. But any rewards, any acknowledgement that you get, that we get when we stand in judgment, that can all be wiped out. If we backslide. I know some people have done great things, wonderful, marvelous things, fantastic things, won lots of people to Jesus, led lots of people to Christ. And then they blew it. They lost all credibility here. Not just that. They lost credibility there too. You say, well, Pastor, that's me. Then let's get busy rebuilding. That's all. We're not dead yet. We have time to rebuild. We have time to get acknowledgement again. Again, I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about your works. When we stand before God, we'll be, as children of God, we'll be tried as stewards. What did you do with what I gave you? That's the question. And he says here, it could all be wiped out. It shall not be remembered. But if you didn't warn him, his blood will I require at thine hand. So you're accountable. We are accountable to share the message, to warn the backslidden, not just to win the lost, warn the backslidden, not just to warn the wicked, warn the backslidden. I mean the people who used to be with us in ministry. We've got to remind them that there's a judgment day coming, and that when we stand before God, we've got to have something to stand there with. Verse 21, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. We can win them. We can draw them back in. Verse 26, I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. Is there a time when God says to you, keep your mouth shut, bite your tongue, don't say anything? Sure there is. But look at the next verse. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. He that heareth, let him hear. He that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. There are times when God will cause us to be quiet. Even when we see wrong that we feel we should speak up about. I have a strong sense that there's going to be a lot of that the rest of our lives. But we don't have to engage in every debate. But in prayer and seeking the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, when God speaks to us, we share it. Whether they like it or not. Whether it costs us or not. Ministry is not free. Like your mama always told you, daddy always said, you are free to say whatever you want to say. You are not free of the consequences of what you say. And that comes even with ministry. We're free to speak it. But that doesn't mean there won't be some retribution, some price to be paid if we step on the wrong toes or cross the wrong path. God said, Ezekiel, you got to preach. I'm going to give you the tenacity, a face that is hard to preach it. He said, they might not hear it. In fact, don't go looking for any big response. But you still got to do it. Ezekiel said, I went. He said, look what he said. He said, the Spirit lifted me up. I didn't go on my own. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me and said, get up. And I got up and I went, but I went with a bitter heart. I went in bitterness. I didn't want to go, but I went. Sometimes you got to do that. That's called discipline. Let's stand. Father, we are thankful for your word. Wow, it's powerful what you've said to us tonight through Ezekiel. And we realize that there are days ahead of us when we will be maligned for our faith, especially if we share it publicly. There will be people who don't agree with us and may even try to attack our character and our integrity. So God, I pray we'll be faithful to our beliefs, faithful to you, faithful to your word, and give them no ammunition for their attacks, and that we'll stand firm and stay true. God, I pray that you'll give us souls for our labor, that souls will be saved, that lives will be changed, and we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.